Good morning, everyone. First and foremost, I want to say, man, it's awesome to see everybody here. It actually does warm my heart a lot to see all of our students gathering together around God's Word and around His saving truth. And so thank you for sharing this time with me and with all of us here. It's just phenomenal. Maybe I should introduce myself first, though. My name is Jacob Kempfert, and I currently serve as the student body president at Bethany Lutheran Seminary here on campus. They've been pointed out a few times, but the seminarians are the finely dressed looking fellows in the front rows. We are not the pre-FBI program here at Bethany. I could see why you would make that mistake, though, especially because some of us do look like we belong in the X-Files. So, first of all, a show of hands. I know I'm breaching Lutheran etiquette here, but how many of us today know Bethany Seminary, that it exists, that it's like a thing? In reality. Awesome. Wow. And how many of us know where it's located in physical reality? Oh, that's great. Wow. That's more than I expected. And who likes free food? Not as many as I was expecting. All right. Well, here's your chance. If you don't know, here's your chance to know about Bethany Seminary, to find out where it's located, and to get free food. This Sunday evening, we're having an open house over at Seminary, which is located on Browns Court. If you go to Gullickson, you turn left down the road by the soccer field and the softball diamond. We're right across the street. This Sunday evening at 5:30 is an open house. We'll have a meal, and then Pastor Matt Molstead from Peace Lutheran Church over in North Mankato will give a presentation about serving in the ministry. So if you've ever had any thoughts whatsoever, the fleetingest of fleeting thoughts about being in the pastoral ministry, serving as a pastor, and being a minister of the means of grace of our Lord and Savior to us, I invite you to come over, have some food with us, and then you can talk to seminarians, such as myself and the finely dressed gentleman. You can talk to seminary professors, learn what it's all about, learn what it's like as a seminarian, and then Pastor Matt Molstead will tell us what it's like to actually serve in the parish ministry. And there will be free food. Sunday, 5:30 at Bethany Seminary. And may the Lord richly bless our worship this morning.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation is recorded in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed, the need for security is one of the most basic human needs, one that follows a person throughout all the stages of life. Infants have pacifiers, and toddlers often drag behind them a toy or security blanket, such as we picture Linus from the Peanuts comic strip, always with his security blanket. Children look to their parents for emotional security and safety. On college campuses, security guards help provide a safe environment for study and socializing. For adults, security often takes the form of money saved up, especially for use upon retirement. A classic ad for a life insurance company appealed to this adult picture of security by telling us to get a piece of the rock. Our text today also tells us of a rock that provides us with security. However, this is not mere emotional or financial security. God's word is our sure foundation, for it points us to Christ, the rock of our salvation. God's word establishes our faith. In this life, many idols try to gain our trust, and often they do not take the obvious form as false gods, but are the things to which people seek as the foundation upon which to build their lives and place their trust. We are lured into thinking, if I just get enough education, I will have a great career and find fulfillment in life. Or if I have enough money, I can rest my mind at ease. Speaking of the way an obsession with money can become a form of idolatry, Jesus warned, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. While education and money have their place in this world, all foundations based on human reason, strength, or ability will ultimately crumble. They are like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus points us to his word as our sure foundation. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Here Jesus is speaking not only of hearing with our ears, but reading, marking, learning, and inwardly digesting his words, and then living according to them. This putting God's word into practice presupposes faith in Jesus as our Savior from sin. God's word establishes our faith. Jesus says that basing our faith on God's word and living according to it is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. When we think of a rock or a stone, we picture something that is strong, solid, and long-lasting. When I was in England on choir tour during my sophomore year at Bethany, I visited the giant stone monument known as Stonehenge. These stones have remained in the same formation in which ancient builders placed them while hundreds of generations have passed. However, the man-made Stonehenge pales in comparison to God's word, our sure foundation. As the Bible says, the word of the Lord stands forever. In contrast with the eternal word, we human beings are sinful, inconsistent, constantly changing. We can see this vividly in our inability to keep our promises. As parents, how often we promise to take our children shopping or to an amusement park or camping, and then we find ourselves occupied with our work and end up breaking our promise. As spouses, we promise to spend time with our husband or wife, only to find ourselves using that time for our own personal interests. As students, we promise our professors that if we just get an extension on the due date for our homework, we'll have it finished, only to ask for another extension. As children, we promise our parents when we're caught misbehaving that it won't happen again, but soon enough, we find ourselves fighting with siblings, being selfish and not picking up after ourselves. Thanks be to God, who always keeps his promises. In the Garden of Eden, after our first parents, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God and partook of the fruit they were commanded not to eat, as they faced certain death, God promised them a savior from sin and death, the offspring of the woman who had crushed the serpent's head. This promise of a savior was repeated to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, down through Moses and all the prophets. And God's promises were all fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. From the time of his birth, Jesus lived a life free from the sins that continue to plague all people since Adam and Eve, where all human beings, that means us, have been disobedient children, neglecting others in our selfishness. Jesus, true God and true man, was perfectly obedient to his heavenly Father. And by his innocent death, Christ paid in full the debt owed to God for the sins of all people. We know this from Jesus' words from the cross, "It is finished." And God gave this payment his stamp of approval by raising Jesus from the dead. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we have hope, a sure foundation on which to base our faith. This does not mean that our lives as Christians will be free from trials and temptations. With regard to both the wise and the foolish builders, we are told, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. From the destruction of the house built on sand, we see that our defense against temptation cannot be found from within ourselves, because no matter how often or how hard we try to keep ourselves from sinning, so long as we rely on ourselves for strength, we will fall into the same old sinful patterns. Paul writes of this in Romans 7, "I know that no good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good that I want to do. No, the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." How comforting it is then to know that we are not left helpless and alone when temptation mounts. Of the wise man who built his house on a rock, Jesus says, "The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock." God's word is our defense against temptation. Through his word and sacraments, the Holy Spirit strengthens us to resist temptation by increasing our faith in Christ, the rock, who alone has the power over the devil, or our old evil foe. In the account of this same parable found in Luke 6, we are told that the wise man dug deep, deepening his trenches to make sure that he had laid a solid foundation on bedrock. Many of us here today were first brought to faith by the sacrament of holy baptism, which made us a child of God and an heir of heaven by the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. But our foundation in God's Word did not end there. We were brought to Sunday school, vacation Bible school, Sunday worship, and confirmation class, where we could be further nurtured in our faith. But our foundation in God's Word didn't end there with confirmation either. It continues here at Bethany through our religion classes, daily chapel, and midweek vespers. Throughout our lives, God's Word is our sure foundation. Our lives built on the rock will not be motivated by a desire to appear good enough to stand on our own accomplishments on Judgment Day, but by the confidence that Jesus has won the victory over sin, death, and hell. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Most loving Father, you have built your church on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Mercifully prepare us to hear and listen to his word. Set us free from the bonds of our sins and defend us from all evil through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.